crush him in. There'll be 2 minutes of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across. And he has it off the line. Shots on follow up. And it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero.
That's called a serious header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma, strepitosa in questa via.
Fabregas, it's Nasri. Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks Rashani. Wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice, and not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And oh!
Seattle Sounders in red, green, Toronto FC in red from head to toe. Cut back there from Osorio, feeding it through. Jermaine Defoe, an opportunity for his first MLS goal. 16 and a half minutes into his debut.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. As usual, you can reach us at our website, www.footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. Or you can get at me at the @ Reginald Dino on Twitter for any show comments, show topics, ideas, and things like that. This week's show is going to be short and sweet. I've decided that during international breaks, it's going to be strictly an Arsenal show. So all the Arsenal haters can delete this now. We're going to be talking about Arsenal for the majority of the show. I got a couple of things about the MLS to get into. Like I said, this week is a Euro qualifier weekend. So there's no EPL, no Bundesliga, no Serie A, no La Liga. MLS is still playing, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Tough week for Arsenal. Tough week for Arsenal. On the field, off the field, wherever you're an Arsenal supporter, it was a tough week. On a positive note, actually, my sister went to England for work, surprise trip to work. She was in London, and I said, if you happen to pass by the Emirates, take some pictures and go to the armory and get me something. And she brought me back an Arsenal license plate type of thing. So, anyways, as usual, sit back, relax, take in the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this. Like I said, we're not going to be here too long tonight. Quickly touch on the MLS and TFC and the abundance of jackassery that's taking place at MLS is too much to handle at sometimes. So we'll get into a little bit of that, and we'll get into Arsenal. We'll start off in North America on the MLS side of the football world. And I don't watch MLS. I shouldn't say that. Well, yeah, I should say that. I don't watch MLS. I watch TFC. Okay. So EPL, La Liga, whatever, all the other leagues in the world, I can watch West Brom versus Stoke. I can watch Athletic Bilbao versus Real Betis. No problem. I'm not going to even talk about Serie A. I can't stand it. But actually still looking to get, I'm in talks with some other people that host podcasts about specific leagues. I'm actually in talks with somebody right now that hosts a La Liga podcast to come on here and talk about La Liga. Since this is episode 7 or 8, I believe. And you know by now that I'm an EPL guy. So I'm trying to get some guys that know a little bit more than me. I'm informed, don't get me wrong, I'm informed about other leagues, but all the ins and outs, this player is doing this, this coach is doing that, this team did this, this team did that. I'm not really up on with my real life and Arsenal. it's tough to keep up with everything. Now NHL started, NBA starting soon. It's gonna be tougher for me to keep up with everything and still have a life outside of this podcast. So I'm trying to get guys that know about Serie A in Italy and La Liga in Spain and Bundesliga in Germany to come on and talk about that, and we can discuss that in segments on this show. So hopefully that goes off and we can touch all the leagues like I want to. With that being said, I'm going to talk about MLS and EPL today or tonight. So getting back to Toronto FC. Now, I don't want to waste too much time on this, but this team for the last 3-4 weeks has had a chance to actually cement themselves in a playoff position in the MLS. Top 5 teams make it in each division. And I think they were sitting 3rd in the summer comfortably. But for those of you that live in Toronto, it's the end of the season collapse for all Toronto teams. And here we are fighting to scraping and fighting to get into the playoffs for the 5th seed. And we have, and there's tons of opportunities for Toronto FC to stake their claim and pull out some wins and get some points to get into the playoffs for the first time in 9 years or 8 years. But these guys just keep finding a way, to screw it up. The schedule was favorable. And I mean, let me start off by saying they're not out of it yet, but it doesn't look good. When you go from controlling your destiny to hoping that teams tie and teams lose, and this team has to lose by this many goals, and I hope this team ties this team, because if this team ties this team and we beat this team and then this team loses and then all that. And when you get there, it's over. To me, it's over. You had a chance to control your destiny, and you didn't take the opportunity. They lost this last week 1-0 to Houston on Wednesday night at home. And I go back to favorable schedule. You have teams that are already in the playoffs that might rest some players since the playoffs start in a couple of weeks. Might rest some players. Don't want to risk injury. Those are the away games. And you got 2 home games left. You have 5 games total, 3 on the road, 2 at home. Now, I'm a guy that would, you know, you have a home field advantage. Any type of home field advantage, I will use it. I'm that type of guy. There was an instance back in March, I believe, last year, or maybe 2 years ago. We had a Champions League, CONCACAF Champions League game against LA Galaxy. Whoever won that two-legged tie would go through to the Champions League, the CONCACAF Champions League. So the LA Galaxy had to come here come to Toronto and play in March. For those of you that live in Toronto or on the East Coast even, March isn't warm. March isn't warm. And even further north from the people that are living in the States on the East Coast, even further north is Canada. So it's going to be a couple of degrees cooler down here, up here. But my whole thinking back then was, okay, we got LA Galaxy coming up here to play. Mostly the temperature in LA all year round, it doesn't go below what, 17 degrees Celsius? I mean, 17, they're putting on parkas. 17 here, where it's suntan oil and short sleeves and shorts and flip-flops at 17 degrees. It's perfect weather on a patio. There, they're putting on toques and Timberlands and and parkas. So my whole thinking would be like, yeah, let's put them in BMO. Get the grass ready and let's play outside in March when it's 11 degrees, 12 degrees at 7:30 at night. Let's take any advantage we have to get this win. Because teams in Mexico would do it. You go to Mexico to play a game, a national team game. They're playing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. In that altitude? Forget it. Forget it. Because they know teams are going to come down here a week before and try to get accustomed to the altitude. And it's not going to work out for them. And by the way, we're going to play in the middle of the day when the sun's at the highest peak. Deal with that. The Hondurans will do it in their, when they're, will do it any chance they can get. Any South American team would do it. Any advantage they can get, they will play. But here in Toronto, we're so nice. Oh, you know what? Yeah, it's a little bit chilly for the LA Beach Boys. Let's play in the dome. Play in the dome. Why are you gonna play in the dome? The advantage of playing any sport in Canada, any sport in the city, is there's only about 3 or 4 months that you can play outside comfortably. You're going to bring a team from Honduras here. You're going to bring a team from Mexico here. Yeah, let's play them in February outside. Let's play them in November outside. Let's not bend over backwards to make their trip comfortable or their game comfortable. Let's put them outside. But no. No, it's March. David Beckham's coming. Landon Donovan's coming. Let's put them in the dome, in the Sky Dome. We'll close the roof. Make the temperature nice and comfortable for everybody. And this is what we're dealing with here. Bending over backwards so other teams are comfortable when we have an advantage and we don't take advantage of it. And this is what I'm getting into. Our home field advantage. They played a team from Houston, Texas. Hot there. On Wednesday night here. And I can tell you, I was supposed to play soccer Wednesday night. And I didn't go because it was freezing outside and it was raining. Perfect conditions to play a team from a hot weather team. Perfect conditions. And we come out and flop. We lose 1-0. And to boot, they had a man sent off in, I think, the 70th minute. So we were playing a man up for the last 10, 20 minutes of the game. They still couldn't score. From a team that were above in the standings. Well, actually, I don't even know if we're above them in the standings anymore now. But a team that we're supposed to beat. This isn't a playoff team. It's not a playoff franchise. Sorry to tell you. There's glimpses of good football. I mean, the days of just kicking the ball anywhere up the field are pretty much done now, I believe. And they play fantastic in the back when they have the ball because teams let them play. You want to pass it from your right back to your center back to your left back 150 times? Go ahead. most teams go on the road to get a point in the MLS. Maybe the LA Galaxy, maybe the elite teams like the LA Galaxy, maybe even New York, they'll go out to try to beat you. But most teams in the MLS are going on the road to get a point. A point is fantastic to most teams. So most teams are going to come and sit back. We'll absorb pressure and hit you on the counter and hopefully slot one in. Which is exactly what Houston did. Guy went on a solo mission, beat two guys, shrugged off another guy, and slotted the ball in the back in the bottom corner of the net. And it was sit back and try to hit these guys on the counter for the rest of the game. TFC gets the ball in the midfield. It's okay. And the ball gets into the third, the attacking third of the field, and everything just falls apart. Everybody's trying to do a flick, a trick, a cut, a this, a that. Even in this league, it won't work. Even in this league, it won't work. Houston Dynamo have two central defenders, 6'3 each. I believe they're 6'3, the height, 6'3. Jermaine Defoe's 5'10, and we're serving high balls into him. We're crossing balls in the air. It's just stuff like that is just like, well, it's not once, it's not twice, it's the whole game. Get down the wing and serve the ball in the air. I used to play center back when I was a kid, and even in university I played center back. And when I was playing against someone that I was physically bigger than and I could out jump, oh, play high balls all day. I'll just head it out. This is easy for me. I might go for a run after the game because I'm not getting any cardio in this game. This is too easy. And they just keep doing it, and they don't change anything. They just keep doing the same things over and over again, hoping that it flicks off someone's head and. We're hoping that someone screws up and it goes off someone and an own goal goes in or some stupidness like that. It's ridiculous. It's the same players making the same mistakes, and I don't know, man. I don't know about this team. There's three games left, two home games. There's one game, I believe, tomorrow, Saturday. They got a home game next week and another game on the road again. And they have to win all three now. They had a little bit of a cushion where they could drop points, but they've dropped all the points. They've already dropped all the points they can now. So they have to get to these next nine points. A tie doesn't do. And I can't see, even with Jermaine Defoe in the lineup, I can't see them running the table and winning three in a row. So my money's on they don't make the playoffs, and it's a sad thing. The support's there. I mean, MLSC tried to bring in players, but it's one thing to just bring in big names. It's another thing to put them together so they can play on the same page. But for MLS fans out there, Toronto FC fans out there, I can't see them making the playoffs this year. So we're going to go into 9 seasons of not being in the playoffs with this payroll. And I can see this coach being let go as well. The current coach that we have now, Greg Vanney, being let go, which would make 10 or 11 coaches in 9 seasons. Good luck, TFC. Good luck. So moving on to Arsenal. You usually have an Arsenal intro, but not this week. And I always usually say, I'm not going to make this into an Arsenal bitch session, but this is going to be an Arsenal bitch session. Okay, because something has to change. And all people are going to say, listen, before I even get into that, let me set something straight here. I don't overreact. I do not overreact. I don't get too high when they win. I don't get too low when they lose. You have to be a very special team to go undefeated all year. Chances of that are slim to none. Arsenal did it already. That was a very special team. I don't expect you to win every game. But what I do expect is for you to beat the teams you should and compete in the games that are harder. I don't mind if you lose 2-1, but you were unlucky. Hit the bar, hit the post, played well. Ball just wasn't going in. I've played the sport. I've played the sport for over 30 years. There's going to be games like that, where no matter what you do, no matter how much pressure you have, you're going to have 99% of the ball. Just won't go in. I get it. No problem. It's in every sport. Every sport's like that. But when it looks like you're not even... When it looks like the tactics are so wrong and players aren't put in the position to succeed, it's just so frustrating. Case in point. Mesut Ozil was playing on the wing for the first couple of games in the season. Not preseason. The first couple of games of the EPL season, he was playing on the wing. People wanted to sell him after a first couple of games on the wing. People wanted to get this guy on the bench, get him out of here. But you have to realize he's not a winger. And I've said in previous podcasts, not a winger. He's not tracking back to cover anybody. He's not tackling anybody. He's not the player that any defender would want in front of him to provide cover. He's not going to get back. That's not his game. Okay? It's not his game. Put him in the middle of the field where he can see the whole field and just distribute the ball to the forwards. Done. Leave him there. I don't even want him to defend. Don't go into tackles. Last weekend, Sunday, London Derby, Chelsea versus Arsenal. All the talk was there from the Arsenal players, Arsenal manager, backroom staff, fans, whoever. This Arsenal team is going to do damage. We are going to do damage at Stamford Bridge. It's not going to be 6-0 again. No way. We're even going to win this game. And I'm not going to lie. I was pretty confident too. We got Ozil, who's hitting his stride, playing in the middle of the field now. You got Danny Welbeck, who's coming off a hat trick, who's playing well with Ozil. Sanchez on the other side, who's relishing the harder games in the league. Yeah, okay, let's do this. Lineup comes out, and Ozil's back on the wing. And I'm thinking to myself, why in this game would Wenger put this guy on the wing? Why? And then I see who's in the middle of the field, and it's Santi Cazorla. So I said, okay, you know what? That's no problem, because Santi can play on the wing as well, so these guys are going to be switching throughout the game, no problem. You're going to see Mesut Ozil in the middle for 20 minutes, and then he'll go out to the wing for 5, and then come back in the middle for another 10 minutes. And okay, I can see what's going on. They're going to interchange those two. No problem. Okay, let's go. Let's see this. I didn't really see that. I saw Santi Cazorla playing in the middle of the field most of the game. I didn't see Ozil playing in the middle of the field for the majority of the game. For me, that's not putting your best players in positions to succeed. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Mesut Ozil has to be in the middle of the field. And then there was a comment from a pundit in England that said Arsene Wenger doesn't trust Ozil in the middle of the field against tougher opponents. So that's why he leaves him out on the wing. Well, that's a whole other ball of wax then. Where if you don't trust him in the middle of the field, how the hell can you trust him on the wing? When Ivanovic is flying down the wing, Mesut Ozil's going to tackle him? I don't understand what's happening. You can hear it in my voice. Just so frustrating. So frustrating. And the tiki-taka, borrowing a term from Barcelona's style of play, the tiki-taka has to finish. You can't play tiki-taka in this league. When a team knows that you're going to try to walk the ball into the back of the net, you're never going to score. You're never going to score. Every team knows that Arsenal's going to try to 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, all the way to the penalty spot, and then 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 to the goal line. There has to be a moment where someone says, you know what, let's 1-2, 1-2 up to the 20-yard line, 20-yard mark, and fire a shot. Because if I was coaching a team that's playing against Arsenal, hey, just drop back. Jockey, just drop back. They're not going to shoot. They're going to try to get to the penalty spot and tiki-taka going into the back of the net. Just drop back. Sure enough, Chelsea just drop back. And the ball would hit someone in the shins and go away. And then they tackle the ball and it's counterattack. Someone in the Arsenal midfield has to take the responsibility on to say, you know what, even if the ball goes 30 feet over the net, I'm shooting from here. To let them know that, hey, the defenseman's going to have to probably come out to try to block me or try to nullify my shot. Because we're just shooting from everywhere. We're shooting from everywhere. So someone's going to have to come out and close us down, which is going to leave space behind for Welbeck and whoever, to run in behind. If you're going to tiki-taka the ball around the 18-yard box, there's nowhere to make runs. Because you're going to be offside. You got to start firing shots from far to bring the defense out so you can play those balls over them or around them or through them into the space so guys can finish. I don't want Danny Welbeck to have to beat three guys. I want Danny Welbeck. I want Mesut Ozil to slot the ball into Danny Welbeck's run and him shoot it. The first touch is a shot. That's what I want. I didn't even want him to touch the ball to control it. Just put it into the space so he can run onto it and shoot it. He's a striker. That's all I want. I don't want him to pick up the ball 25 yards out and have to dilly-dally guys. And Arsenal fans shouldn't want that either. Other Arsenal fans shouldn't want that either. Prime example is Diego Costa. Did nothing for most of the game. Thought we held him in check pretty well. Got his one chance, took one touch, chipped the goalie. Done. 9-8. 9 goals in 8 games. Striker. I don't know how Arsenal's going to fix Arsene Wenger's going to fix the attack. Don't get me wrong, when it goes off, the tiki-taka goes off, beautiful to watch. There's a goal on the website. Messi from Barcelona played a four-touch tiki-taka with Neymar and I think it was Iniesta. Beautiful goal. And there's another goal from last season where Arsenal played about a nine pass, one touch pass type of goal. Beautiful to watch. But those goals aren't in your pocket every night. You're gonna have to get some scrappy goals where the goalie gives you, where you take a shot and the goalie lets out a rebound and the guy's there to pounce on it and put it in. I've never seen a goal like that in against Arsenal. Well, I'm sorry, not against Arsenal. That Arsenal scored. I've never seen a Santi Cazorla take a shot. Well, this season, I'm saying. Take a shot and have the goalie hit the goalie and it comes back out to somebody else and somebody else takes a shot and we're there to pounce on the rebound. I've never seen it. For me, there's problems all over the field. Problems all over the field, and better teams are going to expose those problems, and that's what happened last weekend against Chelsea. Playing guys out of position, and guys are playing, in this early part of the season, guys are playing too many games. We went into the off season. Wenger went into the off season for some reason, having a hard-on to sell Thomas Vermaelen, our captain, center back. Last season, our center back rotation was Per Mertesacker, Lauren Koscielny, and Thomas Vermaelen. Formidable. Formidable back three. To rotate those three, that's... You got three guys that play on their national team. That's a world-class back three. For some reason, Wenger doesn't want to play Vermaelen. I don't know. I don't have any background information or backroom information. I don't know what happened between the two, but Vermaelen doesn't play for whatever reason Wenger wants to give. I don't know. So Wenger wants to sell him. Okay. Personally, I wouldn't sell him, but if you want to sell him, whatever, who am I? Go ahead. But you sell a center back, you bring one in. So for the whole summer, it was, okay, Arsenal needs a striker, they need a defensive midfielder, and they need a center back. Arsenal gets a striker. That's it. So when I look at this, my thought is, my only thought is, and this is crazy, my only thought is, Arsene Wenger thinks that Lauren Koscielny and Per Mertesacker can play 38 games in the Premier League, all their international games that they play for the Euro qualifiers as well, games in the Carling Cup, well, they're out of that now, but and games in the FA Cup for the whole year and not get injured, because those are the only two center backs we have. And I know most of the Arsenal fans out there are going to say, yeah, but Callum Chambers can play center back. But Callum Chambers is playing right back because our right back's hurt as well. So if Koscielny goes down, which is impossible, right? Because he's a horse. But if he gets hurt, what do we do? What do you do? Who plays center back? Flamini? It's the same problems we've been talking about for the last five seasons. It's the same problems. And I've said before, I don't know if Arsene Wenger is the type of person that's just doesn't see it. Or he's the type of person that's just like, just because you said that we have that problem, I'm not going to fix it. I'm going to show you that it's not a problem. I'm going to put Joe Blow in here and I'm going to show you that we have guys to cover. We don't need a defensive midfielder. Diaby is coming back. We don't need it. I'll show you. I'll put him in. We don't need a defensive midfielder. We got Arteta. I'll put him in. I'll show you. We don't need one. One of those guys. Where everyone can see that Arteta's not... this game is past him. He shouldn't be playing in this league. Or for this team, anyway. I don't think Diaby will ever play again for this team. You need to go out there and get a defensive midfielder. You need to go out there and get a center back. Has to be done in January. If it's not done in January, fourth again. I have a friend of mine. She always calls me she calls me the Arsenal fan forever fourth, because we're forever fourth. If they don't go out and get a center back and a defensive midfielder, it might be forever fifth. Sixth. And Manchester United will probably finish above them. Because we're back into the same old thing where, sure, you can beat Hull. Sure, you can beat Aston Villa. Sure, you can beat all these other low teams. But when it comes to Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Man United, can't beat them. If you can't beat the teams that are above you or around you, you're not going far. And again, no goals. They lost 2-0 on Sunday. Didn't score any goals again against Chelsea. Not even a threat to score a goal against Chelsea. Courtois got hurt in the first half. Came out. And I don't even think they took a shot on Cech. Cech came in cold. Now's the time you start firing shots. I don't even think they took a shot in the first half when he was in. I don't think he even made a save. I think he made a save against Podolski, but that angle was kind of tight anyway. But this is the philosophy and the mentality of the team. I don't know. You got a goalie coming in off the bench who hasn't played in like 4 or 5 games, which is equivalent to 4 or 5 weeks. Take fire shots. Might deflect off someone and go the other way and goes in the net. Now his confidence has dropped even lower. But this can't be news to Arsene Wenger. He's been in the game for too long for this to be news to him. So why he's not passing this information along to the other players, I don't know. I don't know if he's stuck in his ways. It worked 10 years ago, so it should work now. Just like his training regimen, where again, Arsenal has too many players on the injury list. Again. We're getting killed with injuries. Again. You really have to look at something that's happening at the training ground. Giroud's injury, freak injury. I saw it. I watched the game and I saw it, and it was just like that injury. You can't really blame on training. He went to block a shot, and the clearance was so hard, and I guess his leg was or his ankle was kind of dangling, and the ball hit his ankle and it broke it. That's a fluke thing. You can't nothing's gonna happen. Like that's a fluke thing. Debushi did ligaments in his ankle. It's soccer. That's going to happen. But it just seems that Giroud's hurt. Debushi's hurt. Koscielny's hurt. And if Koscielny doesn't get rest soon, he's going to be done as well. Tendonitis in his ankle or something like that, or he has an Achilles strain. And we're gonna trot him right out there against Hull in a couple of weeks. And yeah, you need to play. You need to play in that game, and you need to play in the Champions League game, and you need to play in the Saturday after that as well. Koscielny's gonna go down, and it's gonna be for a long time. And then you're gonna have Mertesacker and Flamini as your center backs. Oh boy. So Theo Walcott's hurt. Giroud's hurt. Diaby opened the fridge today. He's hurt. Arteta's hurt. Debushi's hurt. Sanogo's hurt. Ospina's hurt. Ramsey's hurt. Like, what the hell's going on here? I read a stat online. In the last 12 years, Arsenal has had 900 injuries. And the stat was kind of alarming to me. So the first thing I thought, 900 injuries? It's not separate injuries. It's Diaby's probably 450 of those. Because they actually, in another paper a long time ago, I saw an article on Diaby. And they had like pointers on his body to all the injuries he's had. And it was just like they were running out of room. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. They were running in a room, like all the injuries this guy's had. It's just like, oh my God. Maybe soccer's not for you. Getting hurt and blowing out your ACL in training and, oh man. You know, not even in a game. And now, the $42 million pound record signing is hurt. Mr. Mesut Ozil. And all the injuries aren't a little, hamstring, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. No, these injuries are are long-term. Debushi's out for 3 months. Giroud's out for 3 months. Ozil's out for 3 months. Theo's been out for a year. Ramsey's out for 2 months. Like, these aren't little injuries. You pick up a knock, you might miss a game, you're back. No, these are big injuries. Ozil won't be back until maybe January. And then you're going to have to sit back and you're going to have to take another 2 to 3 games to get back into shape and then back into the flow of things. And you have to wait another month and a half before he hits his stride. And by that time, it might be too late. by Christmas, it might be too late for this team. We're already 9 points behind Chelsea, you know, and we're not beating any. We're not beating teams we should beat. Tying Tottenham, tying Leicester, Leicester City, you know, those are the games you have to win. If you're going to drop points against Chelsea and Man City and Liverpool and teams like that, you have to beat the Leicesters. You have to beat the Tottenhams to get your points. Those are points dropped. For Tottenham and Leicester, that's points gained. This is points dropped to Arsenal. So finally, I think we're going to see a squad rotation for the next game against Hull, which is in a couple of weeks. Well, we have to because everyone's hurt. Maybe we'll see Thomas Rosicky play. I was watching Czech Republic versus Turkey today. Thomas Rosicky's captain is the captain of the Czech team. Played 90 minutes. Played well, too, for a guy that doesn't play for his club team. He played well. How he doesn't get a game, I don't know. And even the French national team sent back Koscielny from training with the national team, saying, yeah, this guy's hurt. Like, he can't play. He's hurt. They sent him back home to London. Why Arsenal doesn't see the injuries? I have no idea. Same thing happened to Mesut Ozil. They sent him to Germany. Yeah, Mesut Ozil goes to Germany to play for the German national team. National team looks at his knee and says, something wrong here. MRI, yeah, man, your knee's screwed, bro. Go, get the hell out of here. And why Arsenal's backroom staff, medical staff, doesn't see it? No idea. Why Arsenal's backroom medical staff doesn't say, hey, German Federation, Mesut hurt his knee. We did an MRI. It's not good. You can have your guys take a look at it, but that's our opinion. He's not good. He shouldn't play. Instead of, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go play. Like I said, for the last 5-6 seasons, it's the same shit. It's the same. And I don't know if it's the training. I don't know if it's the backroom medical staff. I don't know what it is. But something has to change. The injuries are too much. Injuries are too much. And like I said previously, it's not little 1-2 week injuries. You won't see these guys back until January, February. And they won't hit their stride until end of January, end of February, March. Which only leaves another 2 seasons left, which is about 8 games left to salvage whatever we're fighting for at that point. And it's probably going to be 4th place again. Those are just my feelings. And it's frustrating to watch this team. It's frustrating to watch them against elite competition, I should say. Everybody was going crazy because they beat Galatasaray 4-1. Everyone was going crazy because they beat Aston Villa 3-0. I don't care about those games. Should beat Aston Villa. You should beat Galatasaray. Show me something against Chelsea. Show me something against Man United. Or sorry, Man City. Show me something against Everton. I don't care about Aston Villa. You should beat them 5-0. But we'll see what happens. I don't know how Arsene Wenger is going to fix this. But again, something needs to happen, and Koscielny needs a rest. But the way things are looking, he's not going to get a rest because in the time to do the business, to get a backup for these guys, we were asleep at the wheel. And now we're running out of gas and we have a flat tire. And like I said earlier, I don't want to get too low on the lows or too high on the highs, but this is what I see. And this is my squad. And so I think this is my squad for a long time. I think I have the right to be, the right to be critical against them. So anyways, as usual, you can reach us at the website www.footballweekly.com. Football spelled FUTBOL weekly.com. You can leave show topics that you'd like to hear, comments and whatnot. Like I said earlier in the podcast, I'm trying to get league-specific guests to come on and talk to me and provide a better insight to those leagues. Hopefully, I'll be able to get that done soon, and we can start doing that. So, as usual, thanks for listening, and see you next week.